turning your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter number 1. All right, I appreciate your good attention. And we started doing that years ago, doing the business meeting first, and it really helps me. As far as bringing a lesson or preaching after that, but we've been studying in the book of Mark for several months now, and we are up to Mark chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 40 through 45, and this is the ninth lesson that we've been in, so nine lessons. We've had some missionaries, we've had vacation Bible school, but this is the ninth lesson. Mark chapter 1. And verses 40 through verse number 45. Let's read that and we'll get started tonight. The Bible said in verse number 40, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will... Be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter." And so there's six verses there. We're going to look at them tonight. And the subject, if you've got a Scofield Bible, and probably any of your study Bibles has something at the heading like a leper healed or a man healed of his leprosy. Scofield Bible says a leper healed. And so that's the subject, is this leper comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and he heals him. And just by way of introduction tonight, I want to say just a few things about leprosy. If I were going to do a detailed study on the subject of leprosy, I would start in Leviticus chapter 13 and chapter number 14. And Leviticus chapter 13, chapter 14 gives a lot of information about leprosy and what the priest and the people and the nation was supposed to do when somebody contracted when somebody had leprosy, what it looks like, what it is, what they were to do about it. You find out that it affects the individual and it affected the family and the community and their worship and how they could come before the Lord and all of these things. You find out over there in the Old Testament what part the law had to do about it, and God's law says a lot about leprosy. You find out what part the person had to perform. You find out what part the priest had to do. He would be responsible for declaring somebody to be unclean if they were found to have leprosy, or if they were miraculously cured, there was a way to declare somebody clean as far as having leprosy. And that is what Jesus is referring to here in verse number 44, after he healed the man and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And so there was a specific way that everything had to be done. It had to be done according to the law. Leprosy, if somebody did have leprosy, if you study it out in the Bible, it was considered a death sentence. It was incurable. There's nothing in the Bible that says if you do this and do this, you'll be cured. Somebody that had leprosy was going to die from it. It was a death sentence. And the bad thing about it, it took a long time, and it was a horrible way to die. and basically just your flesh rots upon your bones from the inside out. It's a terrible disease. And somebody that had leprosy was just a dead person walking is all that they were. It's considered a constitutional disease as opposed to a topical disease. Now, what I mean by that, it's not that if a person had boils and scabs and things like that, that did not make them a leper. What made them a leper was what was going on in the inside. And leprosy just manifested itself to the outside. But it's an inside disease that works its way outside. It's not something that's topical, that is on the outside and works its way in. It's something that's taking place on the inside and it works its way out. And so that's manifested in the boils and the scabs and the oozing. And I mean, you really study about it. It's a awful disease to have, even today. In places in the world, there's people that have leprosy, and there's leper colonies, and places that's all that they deal with it. But it's from the inside out. The law, if you study it out in the Bible, the law made a leper unclean. And being unclean as a Jew, as an Israelite, it affected all of their life. And everything that they could do and could not do and how that they could interact with their family. It was not that they were just unclean physically, but they were unclean socially as well. And the leper was an outcast. He was immediately set out of the community. He was set out of the house, out of the family. And if he was to come around where other people were, he had to cry out, unclean, unclean. If he met somebody else walking down the road, he had to cry out, unclean. And they'd make sure to get away from him. Nobody wanted to be in close contact with a leper. It was such a dreaded disease. Now, that's physically some things about leprosy. But scripturally speaking, leprosy is a type of sin. In the Bible, anytime you study about leprosy or you see a leper in the Bible, it is a type of sin. It's a type of sin in that it is incurable by the hand of man. Just like sin. I don't care how good you are, how many times you're baptized, join the church, be a good person, all those kind of that can never cure the sin problem. It's an inside problem that works its way to the outside, just like leprosy is. It's incurable by human hand. It gets worse as time goes on. It never gets better. That's how sin is, and that's what the Bible says in the book of James. Sin bringeth forth death. And it's something that always results in death, just like sin. And so sin or leprosy in the Bible is a type of sin. Leprosy is also a type and a picture of the judgment of God. I'd never realized or I'd never really paid much attention to this until I began to study this out. And I found that in the Bible there are many people that were smitten with leprosy because of sin. And so leprosy is a type of the judgment of God upon sin. And I'm just going to mention some quickly. This is all just by way of introduction and to familiarize ourselves with leprosy. But you think about it tonight, Miriam, Moses' sister, God judged her. God smote her with leprosy. You remember I even preached on that a few Sundays ago. Remember, she rose up against Moses, the man of God, and she spoke ill about the woman that Moses had married, and God judged her because of that, and he smote her with leprosy. She became a leper. And a few days later, and Moses prayed for her, and God cured her of her, but it was the judgment of God upon her. And it was leprosy. And there's Gehazi in the Bible. That was Elisha's servant. Maybe you remember what happened over there with Elisha and Naaman the leper. And Naaman came to Elisha, and you remember Elisha told him to go and wash in Jordan, and it made Naaman mad, and he didn't want to go, but eventually he did, and he offered Elisha a prize or payment for curing him, and Elisha refused it. But Gehazi, his servant, he snuck around, run Naaman down as he was going back home, and he basically said to Naaman, he said, Elisha changed his mind. He wants those gifts. He's going to give it to somebody else. And so Gehazi took the reward that Naaman was going to give to Elisha. And when Gehazi got back home, Elisha said, the leprosy that departed from him is going to be on you. And so for judgment for his sin, God smote him with leprosy. So it is a type of judgment. There's King Uzziah in the Bible. There's Joab's household. And he killed a man unrighteously. And so there's examples in the Bible of people being judged by being smitten with leprosy. And so leprosy is a type of sin, and it's a type of the judgment of God. Now I want us to look in these verses here, and I want to point out some things about leprosy. First of all, in verse number 40, and I've already said this, but if you're taking notes, I'd say number one, we see a picture of sin. We see a picture of sin in verse number 40. And look what the Bible says. And there came a leper. We already know some things about leprosy. It's a type of sin. You ought to underline that in your Bible, and I like to imagine how things were, but the Bible said, and there came a leper to him. I imagine as I think about a leper coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, here's a condemned man. Here's a dead man walking, and he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I imagine that as he approaches the Lord Jesus, he has to cry out. That's the way the law is. He has to cry out, unclean, unclean, here I come. And as he cries out, unclean, I imagine that the people around the Lord Jesus Christ, they just sort of part like waves getting out of the way. And I just think in my mind that women would be picking their children up and stepping back and getting out of the way, and grown men are tripping over each other. They're just getting out of the way. Because why? Because here comes a leper, and nobody wants to be around a leper. Nobody wants to get the disease of leprosy in their skin and upon them. So here he comes. And he cries, unclean, unclean. And everybody gets back and gets out of the way. And so the Bible says, and there came a leper to him. You know, it took some courage for that leper to approach the Lord Jesus Christ. He could have stood back and he could have said, I can't go over there around the Lord Jesus, around the other people. I'm a leper. I'm unclean. It took some courage to go to the Lord. It took some faith to go to the Lord. He could have said, I'm as good as dead. There's nobody ever been cured. And everybody I know that has leprosy, they all die. They all die a horrible death. But there was something in that man that he had enough faith that he said, you know what? I'm just going to go anyway. And there came a leper to him. And he could have been intimidated by the stares and the looks of people that no doubt looked at him and said, what in the world is this leper doing? He's not supposed to be around us. And I'm just saying tonight, it was no easy thing for that leper to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's sort of the same way about a sinner coming to the Lord. And boy, I'm telling you, there's all kinds of doubt, and there's all kinds of fear, and there's all kinds of things that the devil puts in people's minds. And you know, he'll tell people why the Lord won't save you. What will everybody think? You're too bad. You and on and on and on. But here the Bible says, there came a leper. And boy, there's a blessing in that if you think about it. Look how he came in verse number 40. He came the right way. The Bible says in verse number 40 about this leper, and there came a leper to him beseeching him. He had some earnestness about him. He didn't just casually walk up to the Lord, but he came beseeching him. That means begging him. He was really earnest when he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's a picture, the right way to come to the Lord. He came beseeching him. There's earnestness. There's humility in how he comes. The Bible said beseeching him and kneeling down to him. Is a proud person going to get anything from the Lord? Not according to the Bible. We don't come in pride and haughtiness. If you want to really do business with God, you're going to have to come in humility. Beseeching him, the Bible says, there's faith in this leper. It said, kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Well, that's faith. He come to the Lord and he said, if you will, you can do it. I know this. We've read before, he's been healing people. He's been casting out devils. He's been doing all these things. And this leper hears the good word that the Lord Jesus is able to do things that nobody else can boast of being able to do. And he makes his way to the Lord Jesus, and he comes earnestly, and he comes humbly, and he comes in faith, and he says, I know if you will, you can do this. You can make me clean. And he comes confessing as well. He says, if thou wilt, he said, thou canst make me clean. You know what? He knew he was unclean. He knew he had the death sentence upon him. And there was no hope whatsoever. And he didn't come to the Lord saying, well, now I'm a pretty good person. I've never killed anybody. He didn't come saying, I grew up going to church all my life. He knew he was a leper. But he said, if thou will, thou canst make me clean. I know I'm unclean. But if you will, Lord, you can make me clean. I'm unclean, but you can make me clean. Now we read all through the New Testament in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. We read about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the lawyers and the doctors. And they thought nothing about approaching the Lord Jesus Christ and looking down there, holier than thou noses at him and accusing him and asking him questions, trying to trip him up and trying to question his authority and trying to get him in trouble with the multitudes. They didn't think anything about talking about him behind his back and saying things. If this man, if he were really a prophet, he'd know what manner of woman that woman is that came in and anointed his feed and all of those things. See, they didn't think nothing about how they spoke to the Lord Jesus, but this leper, look at his attitude, how he comes. He comes in humility, and he has faith, and he says, if you will, you can make me clean. And you know, as I was studying about this, I thought to myself, until you come like a leper, you'll leave like one. Until you come in humility and faith and confession to the Lord Jesus, you see all them religious crowd and these educated crowd and those that thought they knew better than the Lord Jesus, they came and they left spiritually a leper with the sentence of death upon them, sinners. Until you come like a leper, in humility, you'll leave like one. But if you'll come like a leper, you'll leave like a king. If you'll come in humility, you'll leave different than the way that you came. And that's how this leper came to the Lord Jesus. And boy, there's so many in the world today. They're not coming the right way. Oh, they're religious. They go to church, and they'll talk the talk, but they've never come like a leper. If you'll ever come like a leper, You won't have to leave like one. So there's sin in verse number 40, and there's a sinner. And there's a way to approach the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's sin, a picture of sin in verse number 40. But in verse number 41, there's a Savior. Look what it says in verse 41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Boy, I like that. There's a Savior. There's a sinner, but thank God there's a Savior. There's some things about verse number 41 I want to point out. First of all, there's the attitude of the Lord Jesus. It said, and Jesus moved with compassion. That's his attitude. And Jesus moved with compassion. Now, we ought to hate sin with a passion. I see things every day. I see things in the newspaper. I see things on the news. I see things on the streets of Boone going up and down. I see things in the Walmart and in the place of business. I see things that I hate it with a passion. We ought to hate sin with a passion. But we ought to love sinners with compassion. There's a difference there. We ought to love sinners with compassion. And compassion, there's a lot that we could say about compassion. It's two words. It's the word come, and it's the word passion put together. And compassion will move us to do something. And so the Bible says that he was moved with compassion. It is an action word. So we have his attitude, but then we have his action. The Bible says this in verse 41. Moved with compassion. He didn't just feel sad in his heart, but he done something about it. He was moved. And the Bible says that he put forth his hand and touched him. You think about a leper, literally. The dirtiest, rottenest, filthiest, it's a stinking disease. A person's flesh literally rots upon the bones and oozes and falls apart and falls away, and it is a terrible, terrible disease. But the Lord Jesus was moved with compassion. His action, he put forth his hand and touched him, the Bible says. We've all heard the phrase, actions speak louder than words. Oh, we love sinners. We love you. We want you to come to church. But what does our actions say when we're talking to people? Our actions. Actions you can say. But if you don't have actions that back it up, it's just empty. What if this man had come to Jesus and he'd had compassion on him, but he'd have stood at a distance and said, don't come near me, don't touch me, I don't want what you've got. That's not what he did. He put forth his hand and he touched him, his action in verse number 41. And then there's his assent in verse number 41. The word assent means consent or agreement to a proposal. And he said in verse number 41, his action, he put forth his hand and touched him. But then what did he say? And saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. He said, if you will, you can make me clean. And the Lord Jesus said, I'll agree to that. I will. Be thou clean. That's the Savior. That's the Savior. He can not only say something about it, he could do something about it. I will, be thou clean. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. The Lord's not willing that people should perish. Why does God allow this wickedness? Why does God allow this leprous society to go on? Because he's merciful. and people are sinners, and Jesus died on the cross for sinners, and we may not understand it, but God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I told Kim today, coming home from the hospital, I said, I really hate for Sister Mary to be over there suffering. She's one of the best people I know. Loves youngins, loves people. She sent a mountain of cards to people. She's a loving person. I said, it's hard for me. Why can't that be some old sinner laying over there suffering? You know, that's the way we think. Now, I don't know. I don't understand everything that goes on in this world. But I know this. Saved people, when they die and leave this world to suffering, they'll never suffer again. They'll never have another pain, another heartache. They'll never have no more grief, no more sorrow, no more pain. Thank God, one of these days, the former things will be wiped away. God Himself shall dry their tears and wipe their tears. We're headed for a land that is fairer than day, and we'll never suffer no more. But the wicked go through this world many times seemingly untouched. But if they die without Christ, they'll suffer forever and ever and ever in hell. And God did not make hell for people, but for the devil and his angels. And God doesn't want people to die and go to hell. And it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance, not the wrath. See, we think backwards about everything. But anybody, even an old leper, that will come to the Lord Jesus and say, if you will, you can make me clean. You know what the Lord will say? He'll say, I will. Be thou clean. Boy, what a difference. There's a Savior in verse number 41. And in verse number 42, there's salvation. Boy, I like this. You ought to underline this in your Bible. And as soon as. Just think about that a minute. And as soon as. Praise God. It doesn't say, you know, a few days later that fella got better. Or a few weeks later or a few months later. But the Word of God says just. As soon as. How long does it take God to save an old sinner? Just as soon as. As soon as He had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Now, if the Lord Jesus had touched a leper, he would have been ceremonially unclean. But he didn't touch a leper, he touched a whole person. That's what it's saying. It, you know, what came first, the touch or the healing? The healing came at the spoken word of the Lord Jesus. And to prove that he was whole, the Lord Jesus, when he touched him, he was already whole. That's what it says. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was clean. He said, I will, be thou clean. And he touched him. He was already clean when he touched him. Or the Lord Jesus would have been ceremonially unclean. By touching a leper. That is a beautiful picture of Ephesians chapter number 5 where it's talking about the church and the bride. If you're saved, you're part of the bride of Christ. You know, look around tonight. We don't much look like a bride. But I like that song the children sing. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. The word will clean you up. And that's why God's people ought to be in the word. It'll clean you up. It'll wash up the washing of water by the word. Why does he do that? Verse 27, that he might present it, talking about the church, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. Boy, I got to thinking about that today. That'd be a good message. Wrinkle free. Go to the store. I like them shirts. Wrinkle free. And you know what? They're almost like that. I folded up a shirt to go to Oklahoma. One of my dress shirts, I got out there, done it like that, hung it on a hanger. And I run an iron over it, but I got to looking at it, I thought, man, that thing is really almost wrinkle free. I mean, it's in a suitcase several hours, but it said it's wrinkle free. Do you know what? One of these days, the Lord Jesus, we're going to be wrinkle free. Not a spot, not a blemish, not a wrinkle upon us. The Bible says, or any such thing. Thank God, all the bad you can think about. Not out there in the world, among God's people, in our thoughts, in our bodies, in our minds, that troubling, besetting sin. Thank God one of these days it's all going to be wrinkle free. Or any such thing. Not a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing. But that it should be holy and without blemish. And one day in heaven, here comes the bride. And she's going to be right. And we're going to be married for all of eternity to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll say, why? Why? How can that be? The Word of God will clean you up. The Word of God makes it so because He said so. Because He said so. And let me tell you, I've never touched the Lord Jesus, but He's touched me through His Word. It's real. There's salvation in verse number 42. There's sanctification in verse 43 and 44. And He straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away. Now, what did he charge him with? Verse 44. What did he tell him before he sent him away? That sent him away, that's an aggressive words in the Bible. He almost run him off. He said, now I'm telling you this. And what I'm going to tell you, now get out of here. That's sort of how it is. He charged him and he sent him away. What did he charge him? Saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man. But go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now, after we're saved, now we are immediately saved. But you know that don't all we don't always look very saved. In fact, sometimes it takes a while to get to looking like even close to what we ought to look like. That's what that is a picture of in verse 43 and verse number 44. Are you really saved? Then do what the Word of God says. There ought to be an exhibition of your inward cleansing by an outward obedience in our lives. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He said, are you cleansed? Do what the Word of God says. And this is what the Word of God says. Go to the priest and offer those things that it says in the book of Moses, what Moses said. Do what Moses said. Are you really cleansed? Do what the law said. Jesus said, I am not come to do away with the law, but to fulfill the law. There's a testimony unto them. And so that's what it says. Do those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. So here comes this leper. And he has to go down to the temple. And he has to go down to the priest. And he's got two doves under his arm. And he goes down there. Hey, Mr. Priest, I need to talk to you. What do you need? I was a leper. And he touched me. He cleansed me. And I'm here to do what the Word... For a testimony unto them. That's what Jesus said. for a testimony of them. Do what Moses said. Hey, Mr. Priest, guess what happened to me? I was a leper. And the priest would scratch his head and he'd say, I don't know, what do you want me to do? Hey, there's something to do. He'd say, and he would say, you know, I've only been at this a few years. I don't think I've ever conducted that kind of ceremony. It's like when I went out to Preacher Mark's, he said, you got any pointers for me? I've never done a wedding before. I said, you preached all these years, you've never done a wedding? And I said, don't worry about it. I said, at the end of the day, there'll be Mr. and Mrs. I said, it don't really matter. If you mess up the whole thing, just sign that paper and send it off. They're married. That's all that matters. I'm not stressing out over that. And that priest said, I've never done this ceremony before. I'm going to have to read up on that. Maybe I can go get Brother so-and-so. He's been doing this longer than me. He goes over and finds Brother Eli over there. He's been doing this a long time. Brother Eli, we got a man out here. He was a leper, and he's been cleansed, and he's coming, and he's coming according to Leviticus chapter 14. You read it when you get home. You'd have to study up on that. Bring two doves, bring a lamb, do a washing. There's all kinds of things. And old Brother Eli said, you know what? I've been at this a long time. I've never had to do that. Go over and ask Brother Benjamin up there. He's the high priest, Brother Aaron, whoever it was. Go ask him. He's been here. He's been at this. He knows all of it. They go over there and ask him. He said, you know what? I've never, you know what? A leper never been cleansed before. Not in their time. You'd have to go back and find Naaman and Miriam and some of them for a testimony unto them. For a testimony unto them, Jesus said, go down there. Tell them fellas, show them what the Lord's done. They're the ones supposed to know me. Go for a testimony unto them. You know, sometimes a person that's just been saved, you can learn a lot from. When you see God really has done a work in their lives, and they'd say, none of us done anything like that. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse number 6, it says, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. We need to be reminded that it's not us that gets the work of God done, but it's the Spirit of God. You can preach the law and the law and the law and the law and the letter kills. Well, we need to have the Spirit of God in our midst. It gives some life to the letter. And so we have a picture of that. And then the very last thing I'll show you tonight is a spreading. In verse number 45, look what the Bible says. There's a spreading. Now, the Lord Jesus told this man, he said, see thou say nothing to any man. Don't tell nobody. Just go down there to the priest and offer the things that Moses commanded. But look in verse number 45, what the Bible said. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. There's a spreading. Boy, it didn't take long. Jesus said, don't say anything. But he went out. You know what? He couldn't help it. If you and I'd get a good case of the I can't help it, there's a recipe for revival in this. If we want to have revival, here's how to have revival. We have, in this passage of Scripture, we have a sinner saved by the grace of God. I mean, you talk about, buddy, he got saved. You know, every once in a while you find that. Here's somebody that is the most hopeless of all the hopeless. And nobody give him a chance at ever being right again, but Somehow, some way, God done a work in his life. Here's an old sinner, gets saved by the grace of God. He gets set apart under the Word of God. He's not one of these, yeah, I got saved, but he never made it back to church. He got saved, and that's what he did. I do believe he went down there telling it as he went. That's that sanctification part. He got set apart under the Word of God. And the next thing he did, the Bible said that he published it much. And to blaze abroad the matter. That blaze, you know what? That's what that means. It's like setting a fire to something. He blazed it abroad. You talk about being on fire. Man, he was on fire. And he got to telling everywhere he went what God had done for him. And look what happened. He blazed abroad the matter in so much that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. What happened? Man, people came, it never come before. They couldn't keep people away. And we've all heard this, you know, if the church was on fire, people would come to watch it burn. If God's people, if we really got excited about the things of God like we ought to, and begin to blaze abroad and say, man, you should have been at church on Sunday. I'm telling you, God met with us. Man, it was unusual. The Lord's been doing some things. Oh, so-and-so got saved. Nobody gave him. You know, you study about revival in history. And a lot of times one of the things that happened is God would save one of the worst sinners in the community. And it would start a fire. We studied last year about a fellow in Virginia and 1700s, and his name was Cursing Jack Waller. That's what they called him, Cursing Jack. That was his nickname. He got saved by the grace of God, and God called him to preach. Man, what a difference. Man, what a difference. And so we see here in the Bible, there's a recipe for revival. I know we say, well, revival's for the church, and it is. But boy, I tell you, doesn't it revive our hearts when somebody gets saved that we really didn't have no hope that God could do a work or would do a work? Man, it lights a fire under us. We need to pray to that end. We need to pray to that end. There's a recipe for revival. In verse number 45, he is so excited, he started a fire and blazed it abroad. And people came from everywhere. Just see what was going on. Church ought to be that exciting. There ought to be things goes on. I'm not talking about outside the Bible things. I'm not talking about weird things. But I'm talking about the power of God in our midst. And God working and God meeting with His people. That people would be drawn. That they wanted to come and find out if that was real or not. That they might not want to come, but curiosity get the best of them. And they come just to see. And then God get a hold of them and do a work in their hearts. You talk about revival. We'd have revival. Well, there's a lot of good things in the book of Mark. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.